The scripture reading for today is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 33. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bible. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you are walking along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleophas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. That all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he was going on. But they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were back on their way to Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day. And remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. Growing up in my family, it was always a guess who's coming to dinner every day, just about. We never knew exactly who was going to be showing up to eat dinner with us. We were always bringing people home with us from school, and especially when we got into college, we brought home a number of international students who couldn't go home on breaks because the distance was great, way too far. We had an open door policy, and we had an open table policy. And even though we didn't have a lot growing up, Mom always made sure that there was room for somebody else at the table and that there was enough food to go around for whoever showed up. Those are some of my fondest memories, and I am grateful to have parents who taught us the gift of hospitality and how important hospitality is in our lives, and modeled that by the way they lived in opening their door and their hearts to others and encouraging us to do the same. I believe something miraculous happens too when we sit down at table with others and when we break bread with others. That certainly was the case in Jesus' life. The Gospels record many occasions where Jesus ate with others and sat down at table, broke bread. I believe I mentioned in our Facebook post that the Gospel of Luke alone has 10 such accounts. Now, granted, some of the accounts in the Gospels are repeats from as they share information, but some of those are very unique. And even if he wasn't eating with people, he used lessons about eating and dining in some of his parables. Something miraculous always happened. And yes, there were those obvious miracles, such as turning water into the finest wine at the wedding of Cana, feeding the 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children with just 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish. But I think the most life-changing miracles that occurred when Jesus ate with people was the simple miracle of inclusion, of making people feel heard, seen, welcome, important. And when he sat down with people at table, when he broke bread with them, he was not in a hurry. He took his time. He listened, and he offered his love and his grace. There are several occasions where we see that occurring. One is when the woman comes to the house of the Pharisee where Jesus has been invited to dine. And even though she does not stay for dinner, she comes in and anoints his feet. And the Pharisee is disgusted by the act. But Jesus recognizes her and recognizes this gift that she has brought, that even he, the Pharisee, as the host, had not offered Jesus. Zacchaeus, a tax collector. We know the story of Zacchaeus. That's one of the earliest stories you learn as a child. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree and in order to see Jesus, because we assume he may have been too short to see him over the crowd, he climbs up in the tree to see Jesus. And as Jesus is coming in, Jesus says, "Take me home with you." And so Zacchaeus does, and Zacchaeus and Jesus share a meal. Jesus also called a tax collector to be one of his disciples, Levi, who we know became Matthew. And after that calling of Levi and some of his friends, we assume also to be tax collectors and others that were not thought well of by the Jewish community, invited Jesus to dinner with them, and he ate with them. And it's on that occasion that Jesus said to the religious leaders that it's not the well who need a physician, but it is the sick, referring to the fact that people who did not know him needed him. Those who were not a part of the in crowd, the religious elite, needed Jesus. And then he stopped at the home of Mary and Martha of Bethany. And we know Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was scrambling to get dinner on the table. But Jesus found what was most important was Mary's attentiveness to Jesus and listening. And so Jesus took time with her. The post-resurrection account of Jesus in Luke's gospel today gives us a hint at something else that I believe happens when we break bread. As you know, we've been talking about and reflecting on the condition of spiritual dehydration. Spiritual dehydration. And considering pathways that help us to find our way back to the awareness of God's presence. Those things that we can do in our lives that help us to return to that riverbed where the water never runs dry, that well where we can just drink from the living waters without hesitation. And today's passage gives us a hint at another way we can do that. The two followers of Jesus we have met on their way to Emmaus are definitely experiencing a spiritual crisis. It's an acute spiritual crisis, but it is a spiritual crisis nonetheless. Though they are not among the remaining 11 who had been the closest to Jesus, as the disciples had been, these two, no doubt, had invested themselves and put their lives into his life as followers of Jesus. They believed that he was the awaited Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. And so news of his death was crushing to them. Imagine the weight that they were feeling that day. We have all lost people in our lives, sometimes unexpectedly, and we know the heaviness, the weight of grief. But not just the weight of grief, but that weight of disappointment in believing in someone and then believing now that they were not who they said they were at all. On top of that, the women have reported that Jesus' body is not in the tomb, and so there's this added distress. Where is he? What's happened to them? They report they have seen him, but they don't believe this. And so they go into this acute spiritual crisis, this spiritual dehydration. And along comes a stranger and begins to walk with them. Along comes someone that supposedly has not heard what's going on, because he asked what the two men are talking about. And when they ask, "Have you not heard what's going on?" they then proceed to tell him. But then Jesus engages them in conversation, causing them to question their own beliefs. Before long, they reach their destination, Emmaus. It's growing dark, and we've all heard that it is not safe, was not safe for people to travel after dark in that area because of the places that beggars and the thieves could hide and harm. And so, concerned for Jesus' safety, this stranger's safety, they invite him to stay instead of going on. "Just stay with us. Just stay. You can go tomorrow. We've got an extra bed here. You can bunk here tonight and leave out in the morning. That'll be just fine." And Jesus does. But then the beautiful thing happens. We don't know a lot about this meal, but we know that there was a meal involved. And when Jesus sits down and they begin to eat, Jesus does what Jesus does best. He takes the bread and he breaks it. And as that bread is broken, suddenly they recognize Jesus in their midst. And like that, Jesus vanishes. But in that breaking bread, in that act of hospitality, they recognize the risen Christ in their midst. This Jesus that they thought had left them, this Jesus that they were beginning to be disappointed in, this Jesus that they were beginning to question, all of a sudden became real to them once more as that bread was broken, that meal shared. I believe one of the beautiful miracles that happens in sharing a table together, breaking bread together, in any act of hospitality, is that we too, all of a sudden, experience the risen Christ, the presence of Christ in our midst. Hospitality brings us back to that awareness of the risen Christ. That awareness that God is with us and is with us in the face of the other person, the faces of those that we are gathered with. You certainly have experienced that in your life. I've experienced that in my life on numerous occasions. Not just in those years of growing up, but in recent years, as I have sat down at table with many people, some church members, but also peoples that were strangers that I did not hardly know. Some of those occasions still are very dear to me. One of those was a time that Greg and I had gone to Asheville, and we were taking a weekend to go to Asheville and just enjoying some antiquing and spending some time downtown, and someone had said, "You need to eat at Moe's Barbecue." And so we went to eat at Moe's Barbecue. And I've already told you how Greg just kind of struck up a conversation with anybody he met. And so we were sitting next to a table. We were at a table for two, and there was a couple next to us that was a table for two. And in Greg fashion, he begins to strike up a conversation with the couple next to us. She, of course, was from the U.S. He was from Kenya. And before we left, we all of a sudden had befriended each other on Facebook and have kept in touch. And when Greg got sick, Charles and Julie both would send encouraging messages and ask how Greg was doing. And we still follow each other on Facebook. We weren't sitting at the same table together, but we were sitting right next to each other. And in that closeness, we shared that meal together. And we experienced the risen Christ in each other. Another opportunity that I had to experience Christ and the other among many was with a family that when I was on staff at First Broad Street, we relocated from Rwanda, one of the refugee families. And this family came with nothing, but they came with the most tremendous sense of joy in their life that I've ever seen. And I marveled at how, having been through what they had been through, could they have such joy? And all of you had to do was sit down with them at a meal and hear their love for each other and experience Christ there at that table as they broke bread. You, I'm sure, have experiences like that in your life. And when we share those experiences, then we also experience the hospitality through the stories. Sarah Harmeyer understands the power of hospitality as a path to get back to the awareness of Christ. She is the founder and what she calls the chief people gatherer at Neighbor's Table. Anybody heard of Neighbor's Table? There was a piece on, I think it was the Today Show several years ago, and she has a website. But anyway, she shares the story of how Neighbor's Table came to be on the website, writing, "Neighbor's Table unfolded as all good stories do, organically. In 2011, I took a huge leap and moved to Dallas, Texas. I was running myself ragged from chasing everything shiny." I like that. "I was running myself ragged, chasing everything shiny." Everything we think we want and think we need, only to realize it's just empty. "My performance-driven young professional heart was looking in all the wrong places for validation and approval. Then a good friend helped me to stop and put a plan in place to understand my identity from God's perspective. I slowly began focusing on being more than doing, and I started to confront the things that had held me back from being who God had designed me to be. For months, I reflected on how I'm naturally wired and thought about the moments I felt most alive. I kept coming back to what I loved, gathering around a table and celebrating others. I asked my father to build a cedar farmhouse-style table big enough to seat 20 people. We placed it under the oak tree in my backyard, dropped chandeliers from overhead, and started inviting neighbors, friends, family, and even people I met at the grocery store. I set a goal to serve 500 people that year, one dinner party after another. The 500th guest walked up my driveway on Thanksgiving Day in 2012. Now, years later, nearly 3,000 have been loved at my table. In nearly 3,000 faces, Sarah has experienced the presence of Christ as they have gathered around that table and broken bread and shared stories, shared life. But it doesn't take a customized farmhouse table to make that happen. Friends, we can do that anywhere. And if we are experiencing that spiritual dehydration, then maybe God is calling us to practice hospitality, to see in the faces of people we meet every day His face, to sit down at table with them and to break bread and to hear their stories. Stories of joy and stories of pain. Stories of life. There's a restaurant in Chattanooga called the Bluegrass Grill. Anybody been to the Bluegrass Grill if you've been to Chattanooga? Nobody has? If you're ever down there, and they're only open for breakfast and lunch, but it's there on Main Street on the south side of town, and it usually has a long line of people. It's not a big restaurant. And so you have to kind of time when you go to get there before they close, but before it's too crowded. Because there's usually a long line coming out the door. And not long after I moved there, a girl who was there who had been at First Broad Street, she invited me to breakfast, and so we went. And I noticed when we got there that the sign inside that said to tell the hostess how many in your party also said to tell the hostess if you are willing to sit with someone not in your party. And so Courtney and I looked at each other, and we said, why not? And so when time came, we sat down, and wasn't too long later, the hostess brought over a young couple that I thought was a couple. Ended up, they were brother and sister. But we sat and we had breakfast with these two people we had never met before and had a lovely time. He ended up being a former football player, I think at Ole Miss, and was now coaching in Nashville. And, of course, we all got around to the what do you do in life, and that's how I found that out. But then when the food came, having learned that I was a pastor, he very politely asked, would you have prayer over our meal? And so we had a delightful time, just us and these two strangers having breakfast together. They were there for a wedding. It was raining that day. And so after they left, they had walked from the hotel. After they left, it was raining. And I took them back to the hotel, and we continued the conversation. But just that opportunity to sit down with a stranger and to experience the presence of Christ in that meal. What would happen? What would happen if when we went out to eat or we went to the coffee shop, we just took a little sign, you know, a little tent sign, and we had written on that sign, welcome to join me. No agenda, just good conversation and company. And what if you did that once a week? I wonder what might happen if we did that. Who might sit at your table? Who might surprise you and begin a conversation? Who might break bread with you? And in that person, you experience the risen Christ. I want to challenge us to do that. It's uncomfortable, but I want to challenge us to do that. Same place once a week with that little tent sign. I'll be glad to make some up and copy them and have them ready for you. And let's just try a little experiment and see what happens. We're not there to push Jesus on them. We're just there to be present. Jesus will do the work himself. But I bet if we do that, we will experience Christ in the other, and they will experience Christ in us. Now, if I've challenged you to do it, that means I've got to do it too. And so I'm going to make my sign, and I'm going to find my place. And once a week, I'm going to be there. And we'll just see what happens. If you take the challenge, I encourage you to share your stories of encounters with the risen Christ and the breaking of the bread and the practice of hospitality. Let us pray. Oh God, sometimes we think that it's those quiet moments, those more contemplative acts, that you reveal yourself to us. But this passage in Luke's gospel, the story of these two men traveling to Emmaus, remind us that sometimes it's in the most joyous of occasions, the crowds that gather around us in the breaking of the bread and the lively conversation and the laughter that we see you. Lord, we starve for you in many ways. And there are people starving right now just to be heard, to be seen, to be welcomed, included. We long for that. And the practice of hospitality is about welcoming the stranger and forming friends. Lord, may we embrace this practice of hospitality as a way to encounter you, not just when we're spiritually dehydrated, but all the time. May we invite others to our table as you have, and break bread with them and meet you there. Amen.